America Looks Abroad, presented at this hour on Sunday afternoon by the officers and staff members of the Foreign Policy Association. This nonpartisan organization, which is open to all who are interested in American foreign policy, offers accurate information on current world events. The Balkan Entente Conference closes in Belgrade this afternoon. Mr. John C. DeWilde, Research Associate of the Foreign Policy Association, who follows affairs in Central and Southeastern Europe, will discuss the tug of war in the Balkans. Mr. DeWilde.
Good afternoon. For the past 2 days, the attention of Europe has been focused on Belgrade, the capital of Yugoslavia. There, the foreign ministers of four Balkan countries are convened in one of the periodic conferences of the Balkan Entente. Romania, Yugoslavia, Turkey, and Greece are represented. Their meeting in these troubled times has unusual significance. They are deliberating on ways and means to arrest the contagion of war, to preserve and strengthen their unity in the face of constant outside pressure. The task of these foreign ministers is difficult. Though not yet the scene of armed conflict, the Balkans have already become the object of intense diplomatic and economic warfare. The belligerents, Germany on one side and the Allies on the other, are struggling for political and economic control of this area. For Nazi Germany, access to the foodstuffs and raw materials of the Balkans is a matter of life or death. The Franco-British blockade has cut her off from over half of her normal sources of supply. The Balkans, or Southeastern Europe, is one of the few regions of the world where she can still buy and sell. True, this area is comparatively poor and very densely populated. Yet it does produce a surplus of food, wheat, corn, barley, livestock, and fruit, in all of which Germany is deficient. And the German Reich needs even more urgently the copper and lead of Yugoslavia, the bauxite, or raw material of aluminum produced in Hungary, and, most important, the oil of Romania. Ever since the outbreak of war, Germany has been pressing the Balkan countries for ever larger deliveries. German trade delegations are making a steady round of the Balkan capitals. But the Germans have not been invariably successful. They've had to contend with serious transportation difficulties. There hasn't been enough railway rolling stock to bring supplies to Germany, and the Danube has been frozen. Above all, German trade missions have run into determined opposition from the French and British. Not that the Allies are particularly interested in obtaining the Balkan products for their own use. They can buy their supplies more cheaply in their far-flung empires and other countries overseas. But they do want to keep the raw materials and foodstuffs of the Balkans out of German hands. Their purchasing agents are busily at work. They are ready to outbid the Germans and buy up anything offered on the market. You might say that under these circumstances, the Balkan countries are in an enviable position. They have no difficulty in disposing of their surpluses and are getting fancy prices. Actually, no nation in Southeastern Europe views the situation in such an optimistic light. All these countries are constantly under pressure, now from the Allies, now from Germany. If they sell too much to Germany, France and Britain complain and threaten reprisals. Again, if they yield to Allied pressure, the Germans become menacing. Just at present, for example, a bitter struggle is going on for the control of Romanian oil. Germany desperately needs oil for her planes, her tanks, and her motorized divisions. She produces some petroleum at home, but her own supplies are far from adequate. She must have Romanian oil. Last December, after prolonged negotiations, the Romanian government finally agreed to let Germany have more. Unfortunately for the Reich, however, French and British interests produce the bulk of Romania's output. The British alone control over 60% of the refining capacity of the oil industry. So far, these interests have declined, quite naturally, to sell Germany any part of their production. The Germans, however, refuse to be checkmated in this way. Under pressure from Berlin, the Romanian government recently set up a commission to control the output and sale of oil. presumably with the intention of compelling French and British companies to sell to Germany. This time, the Allies countered with a strong protest, and Britain is reported to have threatened Romania with economic retaliation. We still don't know the outcome of this struggle, but you can imagine that the Romanians feel very uneasy. Perhaps the Balkans could resist pressure more easily if they were completely united. They suffer, however, from a legacy of hatred and conflict left by several wars. It is highly significant that two countries are absent from this Balkan parley taking place in Belgrade. They are Hungary and Bulgaria. Hungary is still smarting from the defeat inflicted on her in the World War. She has never become reconciled to the severe territorial losses which she sustained at that time. In particular, Hungarians have passionately demanded that Romania return the rich province of Transylvania and the adjoining districts. Bulgaria is the other country boycotting the Balkan Entente. The Bulgarians are also dissatisfied. They suffer two successive defeats, the first in the Balkan War of 1913, the second in the World War. They lost to Dobruja, a province on the Black Sea, to Romania, and were cut off by Greece from access to the Aegean Sea. Bulgaria is now the smallest nation in the Balkans and is waiting for some favorable opportunity to recover her losses. Recently, Bulgaria has alarmed the other Balkan countries by its flirtations with Soviet Russia. She has negotiated a trade treaty and established a direct airline with Moscow. Historically, there always has been a strong bond of sympathy between Russians and Bulgarians. Both are Slav peoples, and the Russians helped Bulgaria to obtain its independence in the 19th century. The Bulgarian people are still inclined to look upon the Russians as their big brothers. They feel somehow that Russia may help them get back the territory they lost. Obviously, Bulgaria's neighbors are anxious about this development. They fear that Russia may get a foothold in Bulgaria from which she might never be dislodged. Of all the Balkan countries, Romania is in the most precarious position, and not only because of her oil. She is surrounded on all sides by potential enemies. To the south is Bulgaria, to the west Hungary, and to the north towers the Soviet Union. Yes, Russia too covets Romanian land. Moscow has never forgiven Romania for taking advantage of the Bolshevik Revolution to seize Bessarabia, a broad band of territory lying between the two great rivers emptying into the Black Sea. But however much she is threatened, Romania has no intention of parting with any of her possessions. For one thing, she doesn't believe that any one of her neighbors has a just claim upon her. It is true that the situation in none of the disputed territory is clear-cut. In Transylvania, there are a large number of Germans, as well as Hungarians and Romanians, all intermingled. In Bessarabia, there is even a worse medley of Romanians, Russians, Ukrainians, Jews, Gypsies, Bulgarians, and Germans. Of course, the Romanian government might make a concession here or there, but it fears that such a concession would only be the beginning of a free-for-all in which the country would be completely dismembered. Under these circumstances, Romania fears for the future. She would like to get her partners in the Balkan Entente to conclude a straight alliance, whereby they would all agree to support unconditionally any member that might be attacked. But the other countries are not anxious to undertake such a commitment. Yugoslavia fears that it would antagonize Germany, which doesn't want the Balkans to become united. Turkey is afraid that such an alliance would embroil her with Soviet Russia. Last October, when Turkey concluded a defensive alliance with France and Britain, she clearly specified that the obligation to assist the Allies should not apply to a war with Russia. And Greece feels even less exposed than any of its partners in the Balkan Entente. You may conclude that the outlook for the Balkans is very dark indeed. Lying in the shadow of Germany and Russia, torn in this direction and that, divided among themselves, they seem to have almost no prospect of avoiding war. Yet the situation is not quite so desperate, even if the conference at Belgrade is unsuccessful in cementing Balkan unity. Nazi Germany will not lightheartedly march its armies into southeastern Europe. The conquest of this region would cost the Nazis a vast amount of men and material, which they are anxious to conserve. They must realize, too, that military operations would disrupt farming and mining in the Balkans, and that the Romanians would destroy their oil wells rather than allow them to fall into German hands. No, the Germans are not likely to risk an invasion of the Balkans unless they become really desperate. Such a development is probable only if the German lines of supply are seriously impeded. There remains, of course, the Russian danger. For the moment, it does not seem acute. Russia has not been conspicuously successful in Finland, and certainly has her hands too full to stage a diversion in the Balkans. The Romanians in particular, are breathing more easily. But the fear of communist Russia is strong and deep-seated. Many of the Balkan countries have a highly unstable economic and social structure. The peasants, who form the bulk of the population, are poor and debt-ridden. The workers in the infant industries of the Balkans are ill-paid and housed. And among the intellectuals, there is considerable unemployment. Almost everywhere, standards of living are extremely low. No wonder, then, that the Balkan governments fear the contagion of revolution, whether from communist Russia or Nazi Germany. This fear, however, has a compensating advantage. It has made these countries less eager to exploit their grievances against each other. Take Hungary, for example. No doubt she is anxious to recover her territory from Romania. But for the Hungarian government, there may be a greater danger, the Soviet Union. Since the dismemberment of Czechoslovakia, Hungary harbors within her borders several hundred thousand Ruthenians or Ukrainians. These are the same people whom Russia claimed as blood brothers in Poland. Hungary also has more than 700,000 landless peasants who might fall victim to communist propaganda. The Hungarian government has always been afraid of communism. The regent, Admiral Horthy, who heads the country, was instrumental in crushing the communist revolution under Béla Kun, which broke over Hungary immediately after the last war. Under these circumstances, how can Hungary dare to push its quarrel with Romania to extremes, when war might easily lead to Russian intervention and the triumph of Bolshevism? For Bulgaria, on the other hand, this consideration is less important. Even here, however, the unquestioned sympathy for Russia must not be interpreted as a preference for communism. Moreover, Bulgaria, a small country wedged in by more powerful neighbors, is pursuing a cautious policy. It wants to know the real strength of the Soviet Union before putting its eggs in one basket. More recently, the tendency toward greater unity in the Balkans has been actively fostered by Italy. The Italian government is strongly anti-communist in character, and bitterly opposed to Russia's reappearance in southeastern Europe. Like Germany, Italy regards the Balkans as her sphere of interest. By conquering Albania, she has driven a wedge into this area from which she exercises considerable influence. For the present, she is using that influence in favor of peace. Italy doesn't want the Balkan countries to quarrel among themselves, and thus give either Germany or Russia an opportunity for intervention. She is anxious to stay out of war herself and doesn't want any fighting in her own backyard. There is enough tinder in the Balkans to light a major conflagration. But the peoples of this area on the whole cling to peace. They have felt the scourge of war too often. They are tired of being the victims of great power politics. Perhaps the European war will make the Balkans more conscious of their community of interest, rather than of their differences. In the face of outside pressure, they may learn in the end to stand together. In this way, the cornerstone may be laid for a great Danubian or Balkan federation.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Mr. John C. DeWilde speaking for the Foreign Policy Association in the series America Looks Abroad. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.